the other trap that's there is my sin is more than Jesus could forgive. My sin is greater than God could ever forgive. You don't know who I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. But God does. And even while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. That's the grace that we have. So the command is to stand firm. Look up to Jesus. Look upward toward Him. He is the model. And He has given us the model that we are simply to live with Him. There's plenty of work to do. There's plenty that He has us doing, but it's not to earn our way. It's just that we love Him and we want to work with Him and serve Him. And we want to serve each other. And we do this work. It's an incredible thing that God has given us. If you skip down, there's so much in that I'm skipping over here. And I'll tell you before I get into it, the verse 6 says there, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. That idea of what matters there is not so much what's important, but what works. What will actually get the job done is faith working through love. That's the calling that we have. But skip down to verse 13 with me. He says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." As you're transitioning over to that, think about this, that the beginning of verse 13, there is a statement of clarity. You were called to be free. The operative word in there that I want you to see is called. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. To be called means that God gave you a name. Oftentimes when you see a person's life change, there was a new name. God gave Jacob the name Israel. You see that happening through the Bible. But when God called you, He gave you a new name. Stephanie had a litter of 8 puppies back about 7 months ago. And when those puppies were born, she had different colored collars, just little very thin cloth collars that she put on each one of them, and they were all a different color. So all these dogs didn't have names, they had colors. We had purple and violet and white and black and green and red, and so we just called them by the color because she was selling all these puppies and didn't really want to get that attached to them because they're all pretty cute. Well, there's 2 that we kept, black and green. She kept them. I keep saying she kept them. Black and green, but now they are Rooster and Wren. Rooster's named after Rooster Cogburn, the John Wayne character. And Wren, I don't know where that one came from, but Stephanie's pretty good at naming the dogs. When we were keeping those 2, they got a name. We got attached to them. They're getting big enough now that as they play and chase each other around, they're really good at coming up and hitting you in the back of the foot and knocking that foot out from under you. So that we may get, you can figure out where that may go. They're hers now. They've got a name. You belong to God. You've got a name. So this next thing, I'd look upward, but also I want you to see, look inward. The rest of the motivation that we have. There's a motivation that's here that he says, don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. There's a trap that we get into when we talk about grace. And there's 2 of them, really. One is I can just ask forgiveness. I can go ahead and do it and just ask forgiveness. Have you ever done that? God will forgive me. If you ever watch Larry the Cable Guy, he'll tell a joke and then he'll take his cap off and go, "Lord, forgive me, I shouldn't have told that one." Put his cap back on and tell another one he shouldn't have told. We do like that, don't we? If you offend somebody, or somebody offends you, and they come and ask forgiveness, and then the next day they offend you again, and they ask forgiveness, and the next day they offend you again, and they ask forgiveness, pretty soon you're going to say, go away. Stop bothering me until you're ready to stop offending me. Don't come back to me. When we're talking to God, He doesn't do that with us, but a repentance saying, Lord, I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did it anyway, forgive me, and then us doing it again tomorrow, that's not repentance. That's just saying, Lord, don't whip me. Don't spank me. There were times that my dad, I forgot what I did one day, but I didn't listen to him, I didn't obey him, whatever it was, whatever he was telling me to do, and he said, that's it. Go get me a switch. And we had plum trees, and the branches on those things were like coach whips. And, you know, he'd go get me about three of those. And so I was, well, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I didn't mean to. Whatever I was saying, he said, this has been building up for a while. You go get those switches. He had heard I'm sorry long enough, and it was time to act. We can't tell God I'm sorry, forgive me, and not mean it. That's not grace. That's spoiling a child. That's not grace. The other thing is, I'm free. I can do what I want to. There's no love for God in the one, no respect for God in saying I can just ask forgiveness. But when I say I'm free, I can do whatever I want to do, that's done without regard for any of you, any of my family, any of the others that are believers in Christ around me. And it's no regard, no love for each other when we do that. It's a deep trap that we can very easily fall into. I'm free. By grace, I can do it. By grace, all I've got to do is ask forgiveness. Or I feel like God wants me to do this so I can, I can say whatever I want to say or do whatever I want to do. But the command here is we were called to be free. Don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The word opportunity there is the idea of an abuse of power or abuse of position. When we hear about somebody in the news that was in a high-profile position and we find out they've abused their power or abused that position, how do we feel about that person? Throw them in jail. Throw the key away. They deserve whatever they get. We are not to abuse the power. We are not to abuse this grace that we've been given. Don't use it as an opportunity. An opportunity, the idea there, again, being that more of a partly a military thing there, where the opportunity is an ambush waiting on you. You know what's coming, and there's an ambush of the flesh, an ambush of sin waiting on you. If you're an alcoholic, the best job for you to have is not going to be a bartender. You understand that? When we know that there's an area that we have sinned in, then we need to stay away from that. If I have a hard time controlling myself in that, I need to stay away from that. The smartest, best thing for me is to not have anything that is sweet in the house. After about a month, I'll get used to that and not go crazy at night. But I want something. I need something. I've got to, and all of a sudden, it gets out of control. There's an ambush there that's waiting. One of the worst things that can happen is for my sugar to drop. And so I'll grab a pack of crackers and I'll eat that, and I still feel like it's dropping, so I'll grab a little Debbie and I'll eat that. And then I'll drink something with it and a glass of milk with it, and all of a sudden my sugar's gone from 70 to 250, and it's got to come back down now. That's an ambush. It's an opportunity for the flesh. Don't allow this flesh that died with Christ. Remember, chapter 2 and verse 20, you were crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. That part of me is dead. That part of me I'm no longer guilty for because Christ paid the price for it. So the solution is there that is looking at my motive. Why am I following Christ? Why am I doing the things that I need to do? Why am I working the way that I am? Why am I serving myself or am I serving Jesus? Am I loving Him? Is my motivation to serve Him or is it to make myself look good? To make me feel better or to do what is going to be good for me? This last part is very closely related to that. We're to look upward, we're to look inward, but we're also to look outward. And this is the result. He says there, do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. The whole body, the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be consumed by one another. Those two puppies I was talking about a few minutes ago have gotten to that stage where they attack each other. They're not trying to hurt each other, but it sounds like they're tearing each other apart. Because there's growling, there's teeth, there's the slamming together of the two of them, and they just, they're going at it. And they're playing. And I'll yell, stop, cut it out. And they'll quit. Stephanie will get on to them and they'll quit. But in a few minutes, they're right back at it. You know how that goes? The biting and devouring one another, pretty soon somebody's really going to get hurt. So stop playing that way. There's something that we're told here, this command, serve one another through love. There again, that original language, love is the first part of that verse. It's the idea of agape love, the word agape. And we hear that and we think unconditional love, and that is exactly what that means. But there's another way to think about it that helps me a little bit more. It is giving without expecting anything in return. That's the type of love that we're to have for each other and for God. God has given to us without expecting anything in return. But now that we're part of His family, we work with Him, we serve Him, we walk with Him. And it makes Him proud. You got a child that you see, maybe not going into the same business you're in, but they've grown and now they're doing well and they're moving forward with their lives. And you're proud because you see them and what you have been building them up for as you raised them. Now, those things are coming to fruition. God feels the same way about us. He loves us without expecting anything in return. He just wants the best for us. Love one another. That idea, the next word there would be one another. It's reciprocally, however you say that word, mutually, each other. I am to love you without expecting anything in return. You are to love me without expecting anything in return. Here's the danger. I love you that way and you don't love me back that way. And what's our attitude a lot of times? I ain't gonna fool with them anymore. I'm not, and we go on. That's not love. You've really disappointed me. I love you anyway. Here's how we move forward with this. You've done wonderfully. Here's how we keep going. To love one another. But here's the real kicker is the word serve. It's the word for slave. It's another word for serve that is the word deacon, or diakonos, where we get our word deacon. This is not that, it's doulos, it's the word slave. And it doesn't necessarily mean somebody that has sold themselves into slavery or somebody that is working because they love somebody. It is that I have become a slave to you individually, and you have become a slave to each other. And to me, that's the way that we serve each other. Think about it this way with your body. Your heart pumps blood to your whole body that gives you oxygen, that does all the work that needs to be done. If everything is working correctly, the lungs are giving oxygen to the heart, the blood is going through the body, the kidneys are filtering a lot of stuff out, all this stuff is good. But when the heart, when one other part of your body starts going down, the heart keeps pumping. And it may work harder. As it works harder, it may get bigger. And the larger it gets, the less efficient it is. The heart will keep pumping and keep working until it can't anymore, regardless of what the rest of the body is doing. And all of our other organs, the brain, all these other things will keep working until they can't anymore, regardless of what the rest of the body is doing. Serve one another. Become a slave to each other through love. The one another, like I said, that is the way that we are supposed to work. But my response to you can't be based on what you can do for me. I've heard people use all my life, I guess, I've heard people use the saying, I don't get anything out of the service. What are you putting into it? If a pastor can preach well or can't preach well, if he can teach well or not, if he's using God's word and he's preaching, there's something you can get out of it because the word of God is being preached. And you read the word of God, the Spirit of God is going to speak to you, but if you're not worried about what you're going, if you're only worried about what you're going to get rather than what you can contribute, you're not going to get much. But here's the picture of service in Christ. We become slaves to each other. We serve each other in that way through love. Not because you love me, but because I love you. And the trap here is found in not doing this. The trap is not doing this. One last thing. It's just kind of a review. Jesus has given us the model. Stay here. Stay in grace. Grace is the only place that we can live. You can't take fish out of water and expect them to live. You can't take us out of grace and expect us to thrive. It's only going to be in grace. Only going to be in the grace that we show each other, the grace that we live in Christ. It's the only way that's ever going to happen. Let your motivation be faith working through love. I trust Jesus and following Him, I'm going to love you. Because I love Him, I'm going to love you. And so some of you are not all that lovable. I'm not either sometimes. I've been the... Don't say amen to me. I'm joking. I'm sorry. No, I was about to say... I have been using, I know, I'm joking. I have been using a shovel and a pick a little too much this week. Not all that much, but too much. And I'm fine during the day. And when the sun goes down, I start hurting and aching. And I turn into a little bit of a grouch at night. So I'm not using any of those today. I'm going to try to be better tonight. Some of us can be hard to live with. We love each other anyway. That's our motivation, is love. And the result is this community living in the freedom of grace. What we have, and the idea of this grace coming that we live in, is that it builds a community. If I come to you and I love you, and you do this wonderfully with people that come into this church, you don't meet a stranger. You don't meet someone with needs that you don't want to help meet. And that's a wonderful thing. And as people see that, and they that are outside of Christ, when they experience that, they want to know more. I forgot who the funeral was for, but I sat with a guy, and several of us were sitting with this man, and he was from up north somewhere, New York, I think, is where he was from, but he was marveling at the fact that you as a church cooked the food that you cooked and brought for this family. Do you do this at every funeral? Yeah, we do. Why do y'all do that? Well, the family gets to sit around and talk and kind of unwind a little bit and see each other after the funeral. He loved it, but he couldn't quite comprehend it. When they see that, they see a community of grace. The way that you love people tells them who we serve, why we live the way that we do. That's the life that Christ has called us, and that is freedom. I'm going to love you regardless of what you've done to me. That way I'm not bound up in anger or jealousy or bitterness or revenge or anything like that. I'm living freely. I'm living in God's provision. I'm living freely. This is the God that we serve and the life that He called us to. He gave you a name and He said, come with me. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you read about Abraham. It's the same word. He was called. God gave him a name and said, come with me. That's the life you've been called to, the freedom you've been called to live in. And it simply takes laying a lot of this other stuff aside and saying before, above anything else, I'm looking at Jesus. I'm checking the motivation I have, and I'm going to look outward and serve and love the people around me. How is God speaking to you this morning? What is He saying? The Holy Spirit's got a way of being able to come in and just speak to each person in here, and He may tell us, every one of us, something a little bit different. But He knows us. And He knows exactly what we're going through, what we're dealing with. Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive because they have wronged you, and you need to forgive them and try to rebuild that relationship. It may be that it could be any number of things that God is dealing with you about. Be obedient to Him today and just say, Lord, I love You enough that I'm going to give this over to You and I'm going to do it Your way. Maybe today that you need to join the church, become part of this church. But you may realize you don't know Jesus and you want to come to faith in Him. Whatever it is, come talk with me about it. Come pray at the altar. Come deal with whatever it is God is putting on your heart today. Be obedient to Him in any way He's telling you to do. We're going to have a little different invitation this morning. Stephanie's downstairs with the kids. Miss Carolyn's going to come and just play for us. If you want to sing, sing. But Miss Carolyn's going to come. You don't want me leading you in singing. So just come and pray today as God is working on you. Be obedient in any way. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, You're a good God, and we thank You for Your word and for the truth that's in it and for the simplicity You call us to live in. Lord, keep us from cluttering our lives up with other things. Focus us on You right now and being obedient to You. And we'll give You thanks and praise, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand with me if you would.